Welcome to the X-Men TASS podcast. My name is Sonia Rappaport.
My name is Willie Simpson.
And today, we are already finished with actual X-Men TASS, and we've moved on to some other exciting things. And
well, that's debatable.
We just finished watching quite a movie.
Right, Sonia. We just finished watching X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yep.
It's the first movie made after they finished the X-Men trilogy. X-Men 3, as we discussed, not the greatest movie. X-Men Origins Wolverine really...
not the greatest movie.
Right. Drove it more, the franchise more into the ground. This movie, as everyone knows, is rather notorious for a lot of reasons. Hopefully we'll remember to discuss all of them. Right off the bat, let's say this movie is directed by Gavin Hood. Stars Hugh Jackman, Liev Schreiber as Sabretooth, Taylor Kitsch as Gambit. We'll talk about him. Who else is in this movie? Danny Houston as a younger William Stryker. Not the youngest iteration of William Stryker, as we'll see one day in X-Men Days of Future Past and X-Men Apocalypse. It also stars such luminaries as Will.i.am, one of the guys from Lord of the Rings.
well, yeah.
Oh, it stars Ryan Reynolds
as Deadpool.
Right, as Wade Wilson, which is, it's really ridiculous to think about.
Like how much better his movies turned out to be.
Right, yeah, but...
Even though as a character, he, I mean, he was the dark horse here, especially compared to Wolverine.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about this. Let's just talk about... So, when was the last time you saw this movie before this afternoon?
I've only seen this once, and it was that screener that came out that, like, wasn't finished. Somebody leaked it.
Yeah.
You remember when that happened before this movie came out? So, like, the scenes, the CGI and special effects weren't really rendered yet, and as a result, it was pretty unwatchable, but... I watched it anyway because I was excited for the next X-Men thing.
Right, yeah, a lot of the special effects weren't done. I think that's when I saw this movie. I didn't go to the movie theater.
And I just thought it was so bad that I didn't bother to see it again after that.
I do remember, as a fun fact, they tracked down the guy who released the movie and arrested him. And it, like, I think he got sentenced to like 7 years. And
I mean, really I guess like that's what's supposed to happen
because
you're not supposed to do that stuff. So he was the example for other people not to do that.
Yeah.
Did it really hurt the X-Men franchise significantly?
The movie made a lot of money.
I don't think it did because if I mean, I guess I would have paid to go see it one time if I hadn't seen that like advance copy.
Right.
But
yeah,
I wouldn't have gone to see it multiple times. I wouldn't have like...
Yeah.
Loved it, even if I had seen the fully rendered version originally.
Right. Where to even go from here? You know, I mean, if you had to guess, what year did this movie come out? Do you know?
Probably 2008 or 2000, probably 2009.
Wow, you got my guess right on. 2000. Yeah. I was shocked reading that it was 2009.
Yeah.
I thought for sure it was like definitely mid-2000s, which doesn't make sense now because X-Men 3 came out in 2006.
Right.
So this is just 3 years later. But 2009...
was a good year for Hugh Jackman. This is peak Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, well, physically,
yeah. He looks great.
He looks, like as in shape as probably he's ever going to look in a way. I just can't believe it's 2009. It obviously feels like a million years ago, but
it's almost 10 years ago.
It's just strange that Obama was president already for a year and this movie came out. That to me, that like doesn't match up in my brain. This seems like a real George W. Bush era type movie.
What does that make sense? To do with
I'm just saying, it's
presidency.
Like a, to me, it just reminds me of a mid 2000s movie culturally.
The X-Men are timeless, okay?
I don't think this version. I don't think the cinematic version of the X-Men are not timeless. I think they're quite.
I know.
They're quite a product of their time.
Well, this is actually a product of a lot of different times, it seems. And I don't even mean in, like, the literal
narrative.
Sense of, like, the epics, epochs of Wolverine's lifespan. I mean, some of the cinematography is strange, like, 70s coloration.
Right.
And, like, these wide-angle shots on some of the... It's like a Charlie's Angels sort of thing with the car chase scenes.
I mean, I
like,
guess... was this movie take place in the late 70s or early 80s for the most part? I think it's in the early 80s.
I mean, it's well after the Vietnam War.
Okay, right? So well after. Right, yeah. You're it right. Seems... It's in the 80s. It takes place in the 80s. Uh-huh. All right, so let's get that established. And let's establish that the movie lets us know that it starts in 1845.
Right.
And I was going to say, oh, that's Wolverine's birth year, just thinking out loud right now. But no, it's not, because he's 12 or so mm-hmm. in 1845. Mm-hmm. So that would make him born like 1833. Mm-hmm. Which is absurd. That's a cool part of the character, in my opinion. I'm not like...
Yeah.
It's just when you, like, just think about it.
Right. That's like the Industrial Revolution,
was that
right?
Like the year Abraham Lincoln was born? Let's say Abraham Lincoln died at 56 in 1865. So 65... he's a little younger than Abraham Lincoln, I think. So maybe like a decade younger than Abraham Lincoln. I'm not sure on the math there. But the point is, he's of the generation of Abraham Lincoln, which is crazy. He's like a good 30 years younger, because I think maybe he's like 25 years younger. I don't know. I've just been watching a lot of Ken Burns' Civil War, so uh-huh. Lincoln's on my mind.
So technically he like lived in the time of slavery.
Yeah. So he's from Canada.
Yeah.
So slavery was outlawed in Canada, I'm pretty sure, in the earlier part of the 19th century, definitely in the mid part.
Right.
Slavery was outlawed in much of the northern United States in the earlier part of the 19th century, and England, and Canada being a sort of like a, I guess, a province of England, or mm-hmm. There was no Commonwealth yet then.
Right. Yeah.
So whatever. So it's 1845 Canada. We see like, and they do, I guess. I've never read the actual Wolverine Origins comics that this is based on, but reading on Wikipedia, it seems like they did a fairly faithful adaptation of the comic books, mm-hmm. which, let's talk about that real quick, because while that is faithful to the comics, I never loved or enjoyed the eventual reveal of Wolverine's origin in the comics. Mm-hmm. So for most of us in our generation who grew up, Wolverine was a mystery character. You know, you never knew what his... He only had one name, Logan. He didn't have a first or a last name. Mm-hmm. His whole mystery was shrouded in past. I forget if he wouldn't talk about it or he just couldn't remember
his
exactly.
His mystery was shrouded in past.
Right, yeah. His whole mystery was shrouded in the past.
Uh-huh, okay.
And the past itself was shrouded in mystery. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, I don't remember... I think he just didn't have his memories or something. But when he's first introduced, it's unclear as to what his deal is. He's just kind of a shady character. But then they slowly tease it out. Like, they show the famous Barry Windsor Smith comic, which is the Weapon X comics, where they show how he got his adamantium skeleton. We've talked a lot about it on the X-Men Task podcast. It's very brutal. Like, it's a very brutal, ultra-violent comic.
Yeah.
It's like a splatter horror comic where he's just decapitating all the guards and blood's everywhere. It's really gruesome and disgusting. Mm-hmm. You know, like, flesh is being melted in it. It's a place this movie does not go, obviously, because it's PG-13. Mm-hmm. The violence in this movie is pretty... It's brutal, but completely tame in its graphicness.
Yeah. So, anyway, so this right. the origin story...
All right, so I never liked the origin story, personally. Uh-huh. So they reveal... So finally, in the mid-90s, they, like, finally revealed what his deal is.
Yeah.
The first real reveal in that was when Magneto rips out his skeleton and you see he still has bone claws.
Uh-huh.
And eventually
I hate the bone claws.
Yeah, me too. I hated it. That's when I stopped reading X-Men comics.
Yeah.
That issue, I was like, I got like the next two issues and I was very like creeped out and disturbed.
I mean, I can buy it as like a mutant superpower, I guess, but right. it's just like...
I always thought it was cooler that they just gave him the claws as part of the experiment.
Yeah. I kind of thought so too. Plus, the bone claws are just gross.
Right. They don't seem that effective against anything.
Yeah. I mean, bone is pretty breakable. People break bones all the time, you know?
Yeah, I know. To have exposed bones like that come out of his hands is stupid.
Yeah.
So the bone claws are big deals of his origin. The other big deal is they finally reveal his real name is James Howlett.
Also, I don't like that.
I never liked that name. I hate it.
It's not the name itself. It's just that it doesn't make sense. Like, he's got this whole persona as Logan.
Right.
Why?
And it's a cool name.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you just, like, make that part of the backstory instead of giving him a completely different name and then having to explain how he got Logan? Like,
well, it is... I mean, it turns out it is part of the backstory. I may have missed it watching this movie. I don't think they'd say it.
No.
But, like, I read on Wikipedia, so... So it opens up. He's 12 years old. He's like a sickly boy in bed, and he's like the son of a rich Canadian businessman or something, right? Mm-hmm. And it turns out the groundskeeper of the mansion estate, I suppose, had an affair with Wolverine's mother. Mm-hmm. This is where we get confused too about like whose child is whose. Mm-hmm. So the father, the real father, whose last name is Logan.
The groundskeeper,
you right?
Mean, is
yeah, the,
is Wolverine's real father.
Right. He's also the father of Victor Creed. Now, why his name is Victor Creed and not Victor Logan, I don't understand.
Right.
I tried looking that up on Wikipedia. Thing, I don't really know if somebody could explain that to us. Please do. So, Victor Creed is Logan's half brother as well. He's not rich though. Like Logan is, he's right, growing up like a fancy boy in a mansion, and right, and Victor is the
son of the groundskeeper,
right, like, and he's the half brother,
which is known, but
yeah, right, and he's a little older too. So there's like a thunderstorm. Logan is sick upstairs. He's not known as Logan yet; he's James. The groundskeeper father comes and confronts the fancy Canadian father, who looks strikingly like Hugh Jackman, the actor.
Yeah, I know.
Got.
That had to be on purpose, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I like when movies do that.
Was it Hugh Jackman in makeup? No, I don't
know. No, it wasn't. Just he has like similar features, his nose or something. Right. But I like when that detail is added in.
Yeah. So he confronts the father, kills him, shoots him in the chest. In an act of this triggers Wolverine's bone claw mutation.
Because he doesn't know that the groundskeeper is really his dad. He right. thinks the fancy guy was his dad. So he goes to, like,
his claws,
instinctively right. revenge his father's death.
And just like we see in lots of other points in this movie and other X-Men movies, his claws comes out, he screams at the sky, the little kid actor. Uh-huh. It's just really stupid. That shot where they show the character's mouth screaming at the sky.
Yeah.
Like, no!
The bird's eye view.
Right.
Yeah.
And he goes and stabs Victor's father to death, and Victor's father's dying last words are, "You're my son, I'm your father," right?
Something like
right,
that. Yeah.
So very Darth Vader-y, I guess. I don't know. So it's here that James makes a series of bad choices that come to haunt him for the next century, let's say.
Or more.
Right, yeah. Victor, yeah, really. But, like, Victor convinces him, like, we're brothers now, we have to escape. And they do. They run out of the house, like, as fast as they can in the middle of the night with
nothing. No shoes on.
Yeah.
Just running. What happened? I thought, like, James was
the mother kind of rejects sick. James, too. She's like, what are you? You know, the mother, like, it's not like the mother's
she's
like, oh.
She's surprised. She's, yeah. She doesn't know her right. kid has bone claws. She's like, what's going on?
Right.
So then he runs away with Victor, even though he was, like, on his deathbed a second ago, but now he can run anyway.
The thing I understand, too, is, like, the father seemed pretty cool. The original father seemed pretty cool about the situation. Like, did he know that his wife had an affair and that
no.
kid is not his?
No, he didn't know.
Oh, because he seemed like they're shouting downstairs and he's kind of like, oh, calm down, calm down.
Uh-huh.
He wants to, like, be cool about it. Like, it seemed like he kind of knew a little bit.
There were no clues to indicate that whatsoever.
I don't know, like, maybe he was shooting blanks and he wanted the groundskeeper to produce a son for him with his wife. I don't know. I'm just saying, like...
You're speculating
right,
wildly.
Fine. Okay, you're right. Not important. So, James makes his first escape to... first mistake to escape with Victor into the woods. And Victor says something like, we're brothers. We're always going to have each other's backs, no matter what. Like, do you trust me? And James is like, yeah, I guess. And then he does for, like, the next, whatever, a million years. And so then it shows, like...
This is, like, the title sequence now, right?
Right, yeah.
Like,
so then it shows, like, the best part of the movie, which lasts 35 seconds, which is a montage of stuff they've been up to for a long, for, like,
for
a span of, like, 75...
Years.
No, not that long. Like, 75 years, right?
No, more, isn't it?
It goes from, like... 1845 to 19 to World War II, which is 1945, so 100 years there, and then right into 1975, so like 100 and like 35 years worth of history is montaged.
Right.
So at first you see them there. They're in Canada, so presumably they're running to the United States
mm-hmm.
because the next time you see them, they're grown up. They're fighting in the Civil War on the American side,
the northern side. Right.
Not the non-Confederate side. So, I guess that leads to the question, like, why? It's the first question, and then they say what happens next. And they're in World War One. We see them fighting for the Americans, and then they're in World War Two on D-Day fighting for the Americans, and then they're in Vietnam fighting for the Americans. The question is, like, why do they keep signing up for these wars?
Right. It's like their whole life story is told only through wars, which leads you to believe that war is an important part of their lives, perhaps the only part of their lives. So it's like, are they instinctually, like, bloodthirsty, and this is a socially acceptable way for them to express that?
Or... it doesn't make sense, because, like, throughout the montage, we see, like, it takes a Wolverine two or three wars for him to get slowly concerned about Victor's bloodlust, which is apparent.
Yeah.
It's like, well, he's like, I noticed you in World War One acting a little crazier than I thought. Now that it's the Vietnam War, you need to calm
down.
You're
out of line, man.
Yeah, it's been, like, several major wars, and I'm just, like, noticing, like... that you're taking this too far.
Yeah.
I don't know why they're joining the army over and over again. Obviously, they can't stay in the army because, one, the wars end, and also they don't age. So if they had a career in the army,
they have to take on new aliases. Yeah, they have to.
Right. So right away, you've just said something that's a way more interesting movie in 1.5 seconds. Like, all this time between wars, they have to take on different aliases. You know,
that would actually be a really great movie.
Right. I mean, this should have been.
I would like to see that.
Yeah. I mean, this should have been the movie of people who live forever. That, like, how do you manage a life? Living forever, you and your brother have the same power. It's kind of interesting from that standpoint that you've got a friend. It's like that's the fantasy. You and a friend have the power to live forever. How do you manage it? And you're sticking together because you're brothers,
right?
And you have to keep it a secret because no one will know what to do with you if you get caught,
right?
So right away, that's a better idea for a movie. That's not what this movie's about. Yeah,
unfortunately not. But maybe the only other possible reason I could think of that they show all these war sequences for the two of them is that before, like, our generation, pretty much, it was patriotic. It was the right thing to do to fight in wars on America's side, right? Assuming that you're American and you, like...
Well, Wolverine definitively states he's a Canadian later in the movie.
No, I know, but I'm saying it's like, you know, he escaped to America. Maybe he adopts that as his identity. Like, he's, you know, happy to be in America to escape his problems that he had in Canada, and he decides, like, okay, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to fight for justice. You know, it's like a Captain America type of idea, and I guess when Marvel first came out, that was in line with the kind of ideas that, like, a lot of American people had, I guess, you know?
But that Wolverine's origin in the comics is not address any of this stuff.
Yeah, no.
Like, he's just a character that appears. All this, like, history is written in later, and it's interesting. Yeah. I mean, it's, like, cool. So, I mean, he's like a secret agent from Canada that, like, leaves Alpha Flight and joins the X-Men, essentially. I mean, I actually, that might even be retconned a bit to what I said. He fights the Hulk in his first appearance. I never read that issue. I kind of, you know, as a lark, I wanted to see how much it would cost to get a copy of the first appearance of Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
And I just typed it into eBay,
and
it was like $8,000. I was like, fuck. For some reason, I was like, you know, maybe if it's like $300, like, I could, like, I've never owned a classic comic before. Maybe I would just splurge on something absurd like that.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it wasn't even close to that. I bet you can get, like, a really crappy version for that much, maybe.
Yeah,
but, like,
right.
You know, what's the point of that? I could just probably buy a reprint online for $3.
But yeah.
Anyway, actually, and I read about it. I'm told it's not a good comic, the first issue of Wolverine when he fights the Hulk. It's, like, not well written anyway. I don't know. Whatever. So we don't know why they're joining all these wars. It's shown in a series of compelling montages that of, like, a better movie that we're not getting.
Yeah.
And, like, I was thinking watching that, it's like if Quentin Tarantino was making this movie, he would have done it like a series of vignette chapters.
Like a Kill Bill sort of thing.
Yeah, where it's like chapter one, chapter two. So chapter one, the Civil War.
Yeah.
And you see them, like, for a good 25 to 30 minute, like, interesting vignette of what it's like for them in Civil War times.
Right.
Maybe show why they're fighting in it, or, like, just some, like, weird slice of life.
Uh-huh.
You know, maybe they, like, run into Abraham Lincoln. I don't know, like, something weird. Like, it's an opportunity to have fun with history and also, like, tell a non-traditional narrative as well. Just, like, give us, like, an idea of, like, how crazy, like, a life is that lasts 150 plus years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it doesn't go there. And then it's, like, you do in Chapter 2, World War 1, Chapter 3, World War 2, and, like, you just have these series of vignettes, and then you could maybe connect it with all, like, a running theme, like Tarantino would do, and you know what I mean, and like splice it all together as, and
also makes consistent stylistic choices,
right? Yeah, or like so do here. Like more interesting, like change the style of the movie based on the time period,
right? Yeah,
like there's a whole bunch of ways to do interesting stylistic choices, right?
Yeah, right.
So it's like the potential for a Wolverine origin story, in my opinion, still exists as like an awesome idea.
I'm sure you're not the only one who thinks that. I'm sure we're going to get more of them in the future. Right. Well, so, yeah. You know.
And some level, well, definitely, because on some level they're going to have to reintroduce the character.
Uh-huh.
Whether or not they're going to reintroduce him as an origin story or as just he appears, we don't know. I actually would argue that they should reintroduce as an origin story. Do him as like, this is what I think they're going to do with the MCU, with the X-Men going forward, and I put this forward, and it just makes more sense the more I talk it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of having the first movie be X-Men, here they are, you know,
yeah,
the five or six characters, you know.
Just start from the very, very beginning.
Well, you could do it like that, right, yeah, maybe start with Wolverine as the first character.
Uh-huh.
You do his movie, much in the way you did Captain America with his origin, starting, and then it's like you could do the type of movie we're talking about, mm-hmm, which would be way cooler.
It would be way cooler with Wolverine. I've said it before, but I'm just not that interested in origin stories anymore.
I know.
We've seen so many
but
of
them. But I'm saying, like, the thing that made the MCU...
like, we know where most of these characters come from at this point, even if the stories haven't been told to our satisfaction necessarily. It's like...
I'm just saying...
Let's move along.
I'm imagining a world, though, where instead of just having the X-Men movie, you build it up like they built up the Avengers, where you had Captain America, Thor, Hulk, Iron Man.
Yeah.
Here you do... It's like Wolverine the movie, Storm the movie, which I would
that
like...
That I would like to see.
But that's what
I'm
saying.
We haven't seen enough of her.
Exactly. So it's like... And then you could cross-pollinate some other characters in Storm the movie, i.e. Gambit.
Yeah.
Who's part of the Storm origin.
Yeah.
You know, the Shadow King. Professor X is like... Have Professor X be the Nick Fury of this continuum.
Yeah, right.
Although he appears here too, which is insane.
Yeah.
But like, there's a way... And then it's like, by movie five or six, you finally get to the X-Men,
mm-hmm,
and all the characters are united in a way through different times and histories.
I wish they had done it like that originally.
It's an awesome idea. That's what they did with the MCU.
I know,
and it works.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. I think they should do that with the X-Men is my only point.
I feel tired just thinking about like going back to that.
But still, I think it could be done better.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this movie, like, it hints at like a better movie that doesn't exist. Maybe one day they'll get there. Maybe we'll be too tired to care when that day finally comes. So, you know, it gets to the point where, I don't know. Should we talk about this movie plot point by plot point, or should we just like talk about it in general? We'll figure it out. I'll talk about the most interesting points, and we'll see how the conversation goes. Because this movie sucks.
Yeah.
It's sad, but it sucks. But I'll say it is fun to watch. I enjoyed watching this. Watching more than X-Men 3.
We didn't do this, but we could have made a number of drinking games out of it.
Yeah.
Anytime there's like an inconsistency with Wolverine's name.
James, so talk about that.
Jimmy, Logan, they all go back and forth. They don't address why he has different names. They don't, like...
Right. It's never... I don't think... Unless I'm wrong or it's a deleted scene or something, don't explain why Stryker, after they're recruited from Vietnam to join a secret strike force, that's what happens next, essentially,
uh-huh,
to, like, some secret mutant task force of badasses. Stryker's calling him Logan, which doesn't make sense because Victor's been calling him Jimmy this whole time.
Yeah.
So where the fuck does Logan come from?
Right.
I had to look it up online on Wikipedia to find out that the groundskeeper that was killed in the beginning, his last name was Logan.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, again, maybe they said it at the beginning and we just missed it, but anyway,
that
was weird.
Right, that stuck out.
I don't know, what else?
I don't know, so I'll just, like, I'll touch on stuff and we'll see where the conversation goes. So they're convinced to join, they're actually put to firing squad death in Vietnam because they've just been killing too many of their own guys, or at least Victor has. He's bad.
Yeah.
Wolverine has, he's a good guy.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Why is Wolverine put to the firing squad in the scene?
Because he's defending Victor and he shows his bone claws to the soldiers, so I think
they're scared
he's a
of
freak.
Him.
Yeah, you know.
That's it.
I think that's the reason.
Yeah.
I think that's what we're to infer. It's bad script writing.
All right.
You're right. That's a good question you asked. I'm explaining it, but still doesn't excuse it.
This is drinking game number two. Anytime there's some like unexplained inconsistency like this, you take a drink. Like, there's a lot. Like, really a lot.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's fine. they meet William Stryker. He's like, you guys, you're freaks. I know it. Like, let me give you a place. And this is where we, like, get any kind of explanations why, like, they're even in the army still. Victor's like, explained to Logan, it's like, we should do it. This will be good for us. No more running.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, I don't know. I guess it makes sense from Victor's point of view that he wants to stay in a place where people are going to recognize him for what he is, mm-hmm. and doesn't have to hide it.
I guess.
So I guess that like kind of makes sense, like why they joined the task force and like why, I don't know. It's not great. Take another shot. So they join this team. On the team is like one of the guys from Lord of the Rings.
I think he's Bilbo or something, isn't he? Maybe not.
Dominic Monaghan.
Who was he? That's bothering me.
All right, let's look it up.
He's one of the guys. Deadpool is there. There's Fred, who becomes the Blob later on.
He played Merry.
Oh yeah,
he's
that's
one
right.
of the Hobbits.
The Hobbit, yeah.
Yeah. So he's there. He's a famous face. Will.i.am. The famous singer from the Black Eyed Peas is a random teleporter. And I think the reason he's in the movie is he was really famous at the time. And he says, I want to be in an X-Men movie. I love the comics.
Right.
So I can't really slack him for that, but he is universally panned in this movie. He's really bad. He plays like a cowboy boxing trainer later for some reason. And,
yeah.
Who else did we say? Oh, the Blob.
Yeah.
Agent Zero, who's a character from the more modern comics.
What's his power? He's a sharpshooter?
He's like some kind of like ninja-flipping sharpshooter who probably has like extra like ability to do sharpshooting.
Uh-huh.
Like absurd shooting techniques.
Okay.
Also, Sabretooth, Wolverine, and Wade Wilson, Ryan Reynolds, and like really a brief cameo, at least of him acting.
Yeah.
Because he's only in like the first 5 minutes here, and then he comes back where his mouth is sewn shut, mm-hmm. which was a stupid mistake by the filmmakers. Mm. And he's Deadpool, and I guess that's him acting with like putty over his mouth mm-hmm. at the end. I don't know, or maybe it's a stunt double. So poor Ryan Reynolds really got a really shitty role. I mean, he did it because he wanted to do Deadpool the movie.
Yeah,
so
well,
he agreed to do this. Well, yeah, it did, but he himself had to. So after this movie came out, it was kind of a bomb, obviously.
Yeah.
And the plans for the Deadpool, like if the movie was a hit, he would have had to play Deadpool in this continuity of films. Mm. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It would have had to have been this character. Because this movie's so bad, it allowed Ryan Reynolds to go to the studio and like reinvent the character as the way it should have been,
right.
more comic
accurate.
So it
worked out actually even better than what he probably hoped for in the beginning.
Yes, that's true, right.
So he got lucky.
Right. So it's like this group of guys, Stryker has them go to Lagos or Nigeria to invade some base. You know, the Blob, it starts off as like a young muscular dude, which is not... I don't think that goes with the comic origin of the Blob. He's one of the classic X-Men villains from, like, number three, Jack mm-hmm. Kirby, Stan Lee. Just a great Jack Kirby invention. We don't really get that Blob in this movie at all.
Yeah.
He's pretty stupid. We don't even get the X-Men Task Blob, who's actually pretty faithful to the comics as well. I mean, I guess, like, the premise is he has indestructible skin.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway... We'll talk more about the Blob later, I guess. So they're invading this base to steal some adamantium from a Nigerian arms dealer or diamonds dealer or something, blood diamonds dealer. They steal the adamantium. They say, the guy's like, oh, there's more. I got it from this village. They go to the village. The entire village is being held hostage. And they're like, it came. Stryker's like, where'd this adamantium come from? And the guy's like, it came from the sky. It's a meteorite.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't please Stryker, so he orders them to, like, kill the first guy and then, like, later kill the whole village.
Yeah.
And Wolverine doesn't like any of this. He turns his back on the Strike Force and walks away.
Yeah.
You
asked me while we were watching this, is this a universe where Wakanda exists? What do you think?
No. I mean, obviously it's not. It's a different Marvel property. But I really brought it up because I think it's going to be fun on some stupid level when they have to introduce Wolverine to the MCU, and you've got these two magical metals, adamantium and vibranium.
Uh-huh.
Because in a way, they've replaced adamantium in the MCU with vibranium as, like, the magical, all-purpose, indestructible metal.
Was adamantium originally, like, a space metal that
I don't think so.
I thought it was some alloy or something where they, like, mixed two metals together and they, like, right. created it.
It's like a lab experiment or something.
That's how I remembered it. Maybe I'm misremembering.
I don't fully remember. Mm-hmm. All I do remember is I had the Marvel trading cards and they said that Captain America's shield was made of vibranium and adamantium.
Right.
So that bothered me in the movie that adamantium's taken out of the mix. Anyway... Mm-hmm. So Stryker's got this idea to get adamantium for some reason. It doesn't, like, it makes his plan, Stryker's plan throughout this whole movie makes no fucking sense. Let's talk about that. Okay, so Stryker initially.
Constant shots.
I guess before he's even met Wolverine or Sabretooth, he has his plan to gather adamantium, a substance he sees, a magical substance from outer space, at least in this movie,
uh-huh.
that he seems to know about. That his goal is to, like, make a random mutant's body's bones out of adamantium.
Mm.
Right? Like that, and because he wants to, okay, so he wants to make the ultimate killing mutant.
Yeah.
For what purposes, we're not sure. Like, I guess to kill all other mutants.
Mm-hmm.
And they show later his son, which we saw in X-Men 2.
Yeah.
Jason. He has him frozen in a vat of cryo-freeze. Yeah. There's a lot of, like, stupid cameos in this movie like that.
Yeah.
I mean, his motive in X-Men 2 is to kill all mutants.
Right.
So, I guess he wants to create, like, the ultimate mutant warrior to kill all mutants. But his plot here is to get adamantium and to see if it works on Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, and then, but his, then it's revealed that he doesn't, even though it works on Wolverine, he doesn't want Wolverine to be the Weapon X.
No, because he's not controllable. No, the point was to see if it works on Wolverine, and if it does, then extract his Wolverine's DNA to...
Give the power of Wolverine's healing to Deadpool.
Right, because that's the only thing that makes it possible to bind the adamantium.
Wade Wilson doesn't have the healing power.
Well, he gives it to him from Wolverine's DNA.
But I'm saying this. Victor has the healing power, and he wants the Wolverine skeleton as well. And,
no, Victor doesn't have the healing power.
He does. Oh, absolutely does.
Yeah, but not strong enough or whatever.
Exactly. So Stryker says to him, oh, you're not strong. We did the test. You're not strong enough to survive the adamantium bonding process. Wolverine's a little tougher than you. And this is like a classic Sabretooth trope. He's like, I'm as tough as Wolverine. Anything he could take, I can take. Like, they have this rivalry.
Right.
But it's like, what kind of test could they have done to have known that he couldn't survive the adamantium process? That's stupid. The point is, like, why can Wade Wilson survive the...
Because they gave him Wolverine's DNA.
Could they just give that also to Creed, give him double healing power?
Yeah, but Stryker has no interest in giving it to Creed. He's making excuses not to.
Right. But, okay.
This part actually does make sense.
It does? Okay, all right. So let's talk. I want to understand.
Okay, what else?
So, but his plan is to test the adamantium bonding process on Wolverine.
Yeah.
Of which he concocts an elaborate, like, triple backstab... fake out story
mm-hmm.
where he plants a fake wife for him to marry for 6 years in Canada, Silver Fox.
Yeah.
Who is secretly a mutant that Wolverine doesn't know until later.
Right.
She's got the power of, like, empathy. Or no, she can, like, mind control people by touching them.
Yeah.
And she can touch you through your clothes and it still works.
Yeah, that didn't make sense to me.
So he so this insane plan of his just to do this adamantium test on Wolverine is to give him a fake wife, plan the fake death of his fake wife, so that Wolverine agrees to join Stryker to hunt down Sabretooth, who's secretly working for Stryker, to volunteer to put the adamantium shit in his skeleton, which goes against the comics. In the Weapon X comics, Wolverine is kidnapped, like,
and sedated.
Right, and that's what is more in line with the X-Men Task cartoon, where he's kidnapped and he's experimented on, and that's a better story than him volunteering.
Yeah.
Like, it makes more sense that mutants were hunted by the government and they experimented on.
In this one, for some reason, he's not susceptible to anesthesia, that anesthesia doesn't work on him.
Right.
Is that a thing?
In the comics...
put him under, don't they?
In the Weapon X comics, he's put under.
Yeah.
And that's how they capture him
in
the first
place.
Why
wouldn't he, like, be vulnerable to anesthesia? I don't get that.
I mean, also in the Weapon X... my answer to that is also in the comics that they create this mind control device that they put on his head, this cool helmet that's kind of iconic. So, like, there's ways for them to control his mind where he could be knocked out or, like, his brain could be turned off or something.
Okay.
In this... universe, he's immune to anesthesia, kind of like in the way Captain America can't get drunk.
Yeah.
And here, it's loosely connected to Captain America in the sense that Wolverine's Weapon X, Weapon 10, Captain America's Weapon 1.
Right.
He's like, it's like a lineage of things.
Yeah.
It's dumb, but like, so, but anyway, in Captain America, you remember he can't get drunk. He can't drink beer.
Right.
Wolverine loves to drink, we know, but whether or not he can get drunk or not is not really explained.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I guess he can get a little bit drunk before his healing factor, like, wipes it out of his system. We know he can't get hungover.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so Wolverine volunteers for the experiment to agree to work with Stryker to hunt down Victor Creed. He says, like, you're not going to be able to kill Victor without my help, without these tools, which also seems dubious.
Yeah.
That, like,
how would Stryker know that?
And why would Wolverine, like, think, like, I could, he'd probably think, like, I can kill him.
Yeah, probably. Probably would be really confident about
that. Yeah, he wouldn't think, like, all right, you're going to give me, like, I guess I need these adamantium skeletons to stop Victor. Nothing else can stop him. Like, I don't know. I mean, he could probably be killed.
I don't know either.
Yeah. So that's the whole subplot, which is crazy. And then, so as Wolverine gets the skeleton, he hears Stryker say, it's like, oh, good, the experiment was a complete success. Let's wipe his memories and then, I guess, presumably kill him too, because now we can do it on Wade Wilson and, like, do it for real on the Deadpool.
Right, and give him all of the DNA to be the ultimate weapon.
Right. It still doesn't make sense why Wade Wilson, though, it, like, his mind can be controlled. Why can't Wolverine's mind be controlled and give him all the superpowers? Like, that doesn't make sense to me.
I don't really have a firm grasp of what Deadpool's innate powers are.
Right, okay.
Do you?
I'll explain a couple of things. Actually, I think I know what the answer is to the question I just asked.
Okay.
Later on, remember Silver Fox tries to mind control Sabretooth? And she says, he says to her, it doesn't work on me.
Yeah, right.
So maybe, and it's like along the line with the anesthesia, maybe Wolverine can't be controlled through whatever drug they have controlling Wade Wilson.
But Professor X can mind control both of them.
Yes.
Wolverine and Sabretooth.
Yeah. I don't know.
Not that he does it in this movie.
Or
so
any of the movies.
Maybe this is a set of rules that's different.
Yeah. What are you saying? Deadpool has powers?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't, like, I know, I never read a Deadpool comic. I know in the movies that he has the power of mutant healing, like Wolverine.
Right.
Essentially. He's a mercenary who is like he gained fighting powers. I don't know about powers, fighting abilities through being a badass mercenary.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's got the ability to fight with those swords, as we see in the movie. Like, he can spin them really fast and block bullets. That was actually a funny joke in Deadpool 2 when he's doing the same maneuver against Cable.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't block all the bullets. And, like, I thought that was pretty funny. Because in this movie, he blocks all the bullets. I don't know what his other powers are, really. I think healing is his main thing.
Google says, yeah, mainly healing, superhuman levels of stamina in strength, agility, and reflexes.
So, like Wolverine, too. I mean, right. I feel like if you have the healing factor, you've got superhuman endurance and agility for whatever reason.
Yeah, okay.
So, anyway, my whole point is, like, Stryker's plan makes no effing sense, no matter how you cut it. It's so overly complicated and overwrought. I don't know. To me, the movie would have been way cooler if it's just like we said, if he was just captured.
Yeah.
He was living a peaceful life and they captured him and they erased his memories.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what happens in the comics. They erase his brain.
I mean, they do that eventually.
Yeah, they do. But in the stupidest way possible.
Yeah, exactly. It takes a lot of doing.
You're right. So it would have been cooler than that. And then like, a lot of the movies, like, he doesn't remember what's real and what's fake. Because that was a plot in the X-Men cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
And from the comics, too. Like, Silver Fox, Sabretooth, Maverick, these are all his pals from the past. And none of them are sure what's real and what's been created. Because they did experiments where they gave them fake memories.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Wolverine, at the end of the episode, was really convinced that some of it had to be real. As he's desperately pleading with Silver Fox to, like, fall in love with him again.
Yeah, right.
He's like, it had to be real, Fox. Some of it had to be real.
It was real. She loved him.
Well, they pan out in that episode. They show, like, he carved their names in the wood and tree somewhere in the Canadian wilderness.
Yeah.
I mean, this movie's dumb. Like, there's a lot of stuff, like, they show the origin of his name, or they explain the origin of his name, Wolverine.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, you want to explain that
no,
scene?
No, go ahead.
So, his wife, Silver Fox.
Are they married, or are they just
I think they're married.
Partners?
I don't know. That's a good question. I didn't pick it up on it either
okay,
way.
Okay, whatever.
Like, she's in lingerie. They live in, like, an isolated shack somewhere in the Canadian mountains.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Wherever they live.
It's simultaneously beautiful, but also weirdly green screen.
Yeah, exactly.
And Hugh Jackman looks beautiful in this movie too, we have to say.
I did say.
Yeah, right. Like, I mean, in X-Men 3, his hair is a little bit overblown and his makeup was a bit much. Uh-huh. In this movie, I think they corrected it a bit more. He looks a bit more rugged and his hair looks a little more
beautiful. Yeah, it's not in, like, the Wolverine mask shape, like...
Yeah, there's just some really good scenes of his hair, I thought, in this movie.
Like, it's really flowing in this movie.
Yeah, yeah, he's doing a good job. Anyway, so he's a logger, by the way, which I like because his name is Logan. That always makes sense to me. Like, he's a lumberjack. Right, yeah. That's what he does in his spare time. He seems pretty happy. He makes $18,500 a year, which I'm sure in, like, 1982 money is, like, fairly more decent than it is today.
They were making fun of him saying it's not much.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway. But he doesn't care about that. He seems to have a nice house as it is.
Uh-huh.
He kind of reminds me of the house that Arnold Schwarzenegger has in Commando. You know, like, lives in the woods. Like, he's also a retired commando that wants nothing to do with it anymore.
Yeah.
He's just living with his daughter. Anyway, so his wife, Silver Fox, I presume is a Native American character. I don't think the actress is Native American.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to jump to conclusions there, but...
Well, yeah.
So she explains that there's some mythical tale that the moon wanted to have flowers grow on it or something, and then, like, there's some kind of story about, like, like someone was jealous of somebody, like the moon was jealous of the ocean. I don't know what the fuck. And it turns out the spirit that was behind the whole thing was the Wolverine. And so he likes that story, then they have sex. So the origin of Wolverine's name, there you go. I don't know if that's from the comics. I think it just makes more sense. It was just a dumb code name he had. I guess a Wolverine is a Canadian-type animal, and he's a vicious, short, hairy man. that's why he's Wolverine. There's not much to it. And also we get the origin of his jacket, which is super lame because it's not like they make such by giving an origin scene to the jacket that he had from the first three X-Men movies. First of all, it elevates this idea that everyone cared about the jacket in the first place.
Right. Which does anyone?
I don't think so. I mean, because most people spend... If you're going to talk about Wolverine's costume, most people are annoyed that he never got the Wolverine costume in the movies.
Yeah.
So to glorify the jacket is pointless.
Right.
Also, it's really stupid. Like, right before he goes into the procedure with Stryker to get the bones, mm-hmm. he's like, I want a new code name. Call me the Wolverine. And then they cut to a shot of a drill press making his new Wolverine dog tags, which is so stupid.
Sorry to interject, but I just Wikipedia'd her.
Yeah.
So the actress...
What's her name?
Viola Lynn Collins.
Okay.
I guess she just goes by Lynn Collins. She's from Houston, Texas, has English, Scottish, and Irish ancestry, and has also claimed to have Cherokee ancestry.
All right.
She refers to herself as Irish Cherokee,
All right.
but spent her formative years in Singapore and Japan.
All right, so it makes perfect sense now, except for the fact that her sister in this movie is Emma Frost.
Right.
It's blonde-haired... possibly British mutant. I always pictured Emma as British. I don't know. The movies have definitely portrayed her as American. I don't know if in the early incarnations she's supposed to be American. I just know in the Grant Morrison version and in the Joss Whedon versions, Emma Frost is British, or at least she speaks with a British accent.
Hmm.
So I always think of Emma as British. So the Native American Silver Fox, Emma Frost, her sister, inexplicably in this movie. Pretty bad.
Google has an answer for you here, too.
All right, let me know.
Emma Frost was born in Boston, Massachusetts.
Does it say anything about her being British?
No. Right. Well, Winston and Hazel Frost were her parents, so maybe.
Maybe she's, like, transplanted British parents or something. Or maybe she's, like, the Penguin who was born in Gotham but raised in England and has an affected accent.
I don't know.
I don't know either. All right. Whatever.
Anyway.
Fine.
out of that rabbit hole.
Doesn't make sense that her sister is Silver Fox.
Uh-huh.
I mean, what the hell else is going on in this movie? It looks kind of bad with the green screen and so much. I mean, that's not the worst
of it. Yes, the green screen is... All right, yeah, drinking game number three. Anytime there's a bad green screen or
bad
just
effects.
Bad CGI, the claws are the worst.
Especially in the one scene where he's naked, he gets rescued by the Mon Pa Kent family in the Canadian wilderness. Interestingly, I think Superman 1 was filmed in Canada, all those scenes in the farm when Clark Kent's a young boy.
Yeah.
So, Canadian wilderness, quite beautiful.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
our continuing love of right. Canada.
So the notoriously worst scene in the movie CGI wise is Wolverine's in the bathroom testing out his new metal claws, and it's straight out of, you said,
Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Right. Yeah. Roger Rabbit, Bugs Bunny looking cartoon animation. It had to be a case of they ran out of money and they just didn't finish that effect shot. Like, I don't know how they could leave that in the movie.
Yeah.
It's so glaringly bad. I mean, the claws don't look terrible in every scene in the movie, but in many scenes they do, for sure.
Yeah.
But that is, like, particularly galling as one of the worst effect shots in the movie. Another terrible effect shot is Professor X. Patrick Stewart has a cameo in this movie at the end.
Mm-hmm.
They give him the de-aging effect on his face.
Mm-hmm.
It looks borderline disturbing. He looks faker than the dead Grand Moff Tarkin that they revived in Rogue One,
yeah.
A Star Wars Story.
Well, it was, you know, 10 years ago.
Right, yeah.
Effects tech.
Yeah, I mean, but that's, like, really embarrassing to you. Another bad effect is when Emma Frost turns to diamond.
Oh, yeah, that's horrible.
Yeah.
It's like fractals or something.
Right. I mean, in this movie, another dumb origin, his love of motorcycles is explained a bit. Oh, that was a scene that bothered me. So he's talking to the old man that's sheltering him after he's run away from the Weapon X facility. Let it be said, too, that when he escapes the Weapon X facility, it is not a bloodbath like it is supposed to be
right.
in the comics. He just kills one or two guys, runs away, jumps out naked into a waterfall, and gets away.
Yeah.
In the comics, it's a total bloodbath. There's, like, a scene of him, like, standing on a mountain of, like, 50 guys. He's decapitated, covered in their blood, naked. They try to make up for it a little bit in X-Men Apocalypse. They show a scene with Hugh Jackman as a cameo, like, escaping the Weapon X facility, where the other X-Men are kidnapped, and there's a little bit of blood squirts on the wall. Even still, that doesn't quite make up for it. But he is wearing the Weapon X helmet. Whatever. So in the scene where he's with the old man, he's like, oh, my favorite motorcycle was the 1948 and whatever Plymouth. I bought one that came right off the line. Again, hints of a better movie we don't get to see.
Yeah.
And the old man's like, you're too young to have gotten that right off the line.
Right.
And
it's like, yeah, he really is, and wouldn't he have known by now
to edit himself in conversation,
yeah,
not to give,
like,
away the fact that he's an immortal being?
Do a little math on that before you, or just think to yourself, man, that was a very long time ago, I probably shouldn't say this.
It just doesn't make sense from a character point of view. He must have had to learn to hide his age.
He wouldn't even have to lie, you know?
Right.
He could have just been like, oh yeah, I used to have that motorcycle and leave it at that, and it wouldn't have been suspicious in the slightest.
Well, it was suspicious because he said, oh, right, but he said it in the first place, I got it off the line.
I know, I'm saying all he would have to do is edit out that one, like,
right, yeah,
piece of a sentence,
yes,
and it would have been totally fine.
Yeah, absolutely. So what the fuck else is going on? I mean, like, following that scene, there's, like, this dramatic motorcycle chase. They kill Agent Zero kills the old couple, which is pretty sad.
Yeah.
Wolverine's really pissed, even though, you know, it's horrible what he did, Agent Zero.
Yeah.
And Agent Zero blames it on Wolverine for some reason. He's like, Wolverine has killed the elderly couple in the house.
I think it's, like, not that these people are really operating by government rules,
yeah,
it seems, but if they're trying to, like, adhere to, you know, legality at least. Maybe he has to say something like that out loud so it's recorded somewhere that they have, like, a motive to go after Wolverine, you know, like...
Yeah, maybe. You're right. That makes more sense. I mean, Agent Zero clearly hates Wolverine for some reason in this movie. It's not quite explained why.
But it's manslaughter if there's no, like, purpose for them to go after him. But if he says, like, oh, I just witnessed him kill two people,
right. Then
it's like...
But it doesn't make sense because it seems like this Stryker guy is operating way outside the lines of government purview.
Yeah, well,
anyway.
He, like, kills the general later.
Yeah,
he kills the
general later who's like, we're shutting you down, you've gone insane.
Maybe up until that point,
he,
like,
was kind
the
of
general is kind of overseeing their operations, so he has to answer to him, sort of.
I guess, but the whole operation seems so shady to begin with that...
Because
they're clearly murdering civilians around the world in other countries.
Right.
And Stryker is, like, operating. Like, at the point when they're about to kill the whole village in Africa, Stryker says, like, cut out the communications right now.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want the government monitoring them.
Right.
So, Agent Zero seems to be his accomplice in being a total evil bastard. Meanwhile, so there's this motorcycle chase. Wolverine's getting away. Agent Zero's in a helicopter trying to blow him up. They think that they can cut... first of all, Stryker tells him to cut his head off, which doesn't seem...
Yeah, how's he going to do that?
He's got a spine made of adamantium. How could you sever his head from his... His spinal column, whatever. Agent Zero wants to just blow him up, which we know explosions will kill Wolverine. As we'll see in Wolverine 2, he survives the nuking of Nagasaki. To be so cavalier and just saying it like that, because it's a real life tragedy. But you know what I mean.
The only reason it gets a chuckle is because it's such a ridiculous thing to be able to survive.
He should be able to survive a helicopter missile that blows him up.
This is another really bad
CGI. Is terrible
CGI. Moment.
So you had a really good point when we were watching this, where like you see Wolverine jump off the motorcycle and attack the helicopter.
It's like a whole sequence of things, right? He turns his motorcycle around with his claws back towards like an army jeep sort of vehicle to slash the side of it, so that it can like slow-mo roll up into the air and like make impact with the helicopter. At which point
he's
like
climbing it or something,
jumps off the top of the truck so that he can like slice the blades of the helicopter. I'm no cinematographer, so I don't know how to make this look good.
I was thinking about it too. I don't know how to make it look better,
but it's a sequence that I would have totally bought as an X-Men TAS sequence.
Wolverine
animated
does that shit
or something
all the time. He's
I would
jumping
have been
off
like
machines
awesome,
and robots,
you know?
Right.
The way it's shot here, maybe, or just the fact that it's live action, so you know there's like stunt doubles or like something about the physicality of it is not right.
It doesn't look right. It's just staged poorly. The CGI doesn't look good. Yeah, it should technically be cool to see Wolverine like take down a tank and a helicopter in one fell swoop and survive, because that's what's so cool about it.
Yeah, rolling off, and then there's an explosion behind him.
And he's just walking calmly away, which is made fun of in that Will Ferrell parody video that he did with that actor from Brooklyn Nine-Nine? Andy Samberg?
Yeah.
The cool guys don't look at the explosions.
Yeah, right.
They showed this scene from that movie in that music video.
Yeah.
It's just funny. Anyway, I was going to say about that...
the explosion itself is ridiculous, too, because
It's like a nuclear bomb goes off.
Yeah, like, I guess a tank and a helicopter, or a jeep and a helicopter would make a huge explosion, but it's like scalding, blistering red fills the entire frame.
In close distance behind Wolverine as he slowly walks away. It speaks to, like, what a badass Wolverine is, that sequence of events. And he does say his most famous line in the movie to Silver Fox in a casual way. He's like, I'm the best at what I do, and what I do is not very nice.
Uh-huh.
Which is like, okay, great, we got the line out, but it's just not done in a great moment. He probably should have been saying that to Sabretooth. I think he more classically says that to him in the comics. Anyway, what else happens? We meet Gambit. So the backstory is that Stryker has Sabretooth hunting down all the members of the team. He starts by killing Bradley, who is the Lord of the Rings guy. He kills the Blob off screen. We haven't met the Blob yet. So Wolverine, he needs answers. Stryker's, like, pointed him in the right direction, I guess. Actually, no, he hasn't, because now he wants revenge on Stryker, too. Because, after Agent Zero kills the old family, he knows that Stryker is backstabbing him.
Yeah.
So he's promising... I think he goes on the radio before he kills Agent Zero, and Stryker says, I'm going to come fucking kill you, too.
Except it's PG-13. There's no cursing in this movie.
There is some cursing. I think he lets loose a fuck at one point in the movie. I forget where. And he says shit a lot. Wolverine heads to Vegas to meet his old friend, Will.i.am. I forget his name in the movie. And Will.i.am is now, like, a cowboy, like, boxing promoter, it seems.
Yeah.
And they have, like, an emotional reunion where they're both sitting, like, schlubs in his office, like, just talking about stuff.
All this potted cactus plants around. It's so weird.
Yeah, and he's like... What does he say about the past that's so ridiculous? He's like, they hunted him down like dogs, Logan. I don't know.
Yeah.
Will.i.am tries to get emotional. He can't act. It's sad. I feel bad for Will.i.am. I mean, I don't like the Black Eyed Peas as a band, but...
When they came out, they were pretty good.
Yeah, you like some of their music.
I mean, the moment has passed for them.
Yeah,
they did it.
They're really popular to make fun of for some reason.
Yeah.
I think, what's her name from Parks and Recreation had a real... Like, she hated them famously in the show.
Oh, really?
Aubrey Plaza.
Oh, yeah.
Her character, like... There's, like, someone paints her a picture of her killing the Black Eyed Peas, and that's, like, the dearest picture to her ever.
That's funny.
Yeah. So she especially hated them for some reason.
Uh-huh.
So he explains to him that their friends have been hunted down, and that it's all, like, Stryker and Sabretooth operate out side of an island together somewhere. He doesn't know much details, but he says, oh, but Fred knows.
Yeah.
And Fred, it turns out to be, now is the Blob. So he went from being a muscular military guy to now, like, an obese... He looks like Fat Bastard from Austin Powers.
The fat suit is really distracting.
It's distracting. It's... You know, I don't... He said he developed an eating disorder because he had post-traumatic stress of all their battling they did.
Yeah, but it's clearly a mutation.
Yeah, I know. I don't like this characterization of the Blob. It's
not
either. Like so bad, but it's... I don't know. So anyway, he says, I'm helping him get back into shape by boxing, which is ridiculous because he's also drinking an enormous, like, triple XL Slurpee. So whatever, fine. It's a joke. So he has to... The Blob thinks he hears Wolverine call him the Blob. He says, no, I just called you Bub.
Right.
And so they get into a fight.
Which is a question in itself. What is Bub from?
I mean, it's like something
it's
he says.
I know it's his thing. Like, he says it all the time.
But I guess
like,
Canadians
why
say
is that, is that a thing?
I think Canadians say Bub. They say A and Bub, yeah. Wolverine does. I don't know. A lot of my knowledge of Canadian culture is based on Wolverine. So we'll have to ask Adam if he knows, like, where, if it's true that Canadians say Bub. So it's just one of these stupid things where they're technically friends, but they have to get into a fight anyway, like superheroes
this
do.
This scene is so long. Like, the preamble to this fight just takes forever.
And it's just like, all to get a bit of information about, like, where should I go next?
Yeah, and the characterization of the Blob, again, just isn't that great, because the whole thing from the comics and X-Men TAS is that he has, like, impenetrable skin, so stuff just bounces
off
it.
And he can't be moved either.
Right, so, like, Wolverine fighting him technically shouldn't be, like, an easy matchup, because Wolverine's claws shouldn't be able to actually
pierce his skin. I mean, he obviously doesn't stab him.
No, but, you know... Like,
he does threaten to stab him, though, and Blob gets scared, which he shouldn't be.
Right.
He's got, I think in the X-Men cartoon, they show Wolverine claws out, stab the Blob, and
he
it
just
doesn't work.
And bounces off, yeah.
Or no, his hand actually gets stuck in his belly.
Oh, right,
yeah. So, it's not quite the Blob. It's not a good character. It just shows the laziness of not caring about the source material. Whatever. I mean, that happens a lot in these X-Men movies.
Yeah.
So, while that's going on, they intersperse a scene where Sabretooth is also hunting other mutants not related to this team force.
Right.
And he tracks down young Cyclops. The first of two teenage Cyclopses we're going to be introduced with in this messed up X-Men continuity.
Yeah.
So it's this other actor playing Cyclops. He's in a high school somewhere.
He's got his red aviators on.
Right. Which are we saying that are those ruby quartz blocking his optic blasts, or is it just a coincidence he's wearing red glasses?
No, they're blocking his optic blasts.
I guess they are, but like, how would he have those glasses? Never mind. Everyone knows there's no answer to that question. So Sabretooth is hunting him down there because they're collecting mutants. So that's interspersed with the stupid Wolverine Blob fight. We cut back to the Wolverine Blob fight. It's still sort of going on. It's still sort of not yet over. It's just a terrible scene. He points him in the direction of New Orleans, where he has to meet a guy named Remy LeBeau Gambit.
Uh-huh.
And Will.i.am's like, I'm coming with you, Logan. And then this is one of my favorite stupid scenes in this movie. There's an establishing shot of Will.i.am and Hugh Jackman riding on choppers across America to drive to New Orleans.
And incidentally, they're in New Orleans.
Again.
That 20-hour road trip.
Yeah, another movie that probably...
more than 20. That's probably like, I don't know, a 50-hour road trip, whatever. Anyways,
yeah,
they are in
that itself could have been a fun movie of two like bros like riding choppers from Las Vegas to New Orleans.
That could be like a buddy comedy, couldn't it?
Yeah. So Wolverine arrives in New Orleans and he goes to some gambling hole where we see Gambit in the background shuffling cards.
Here we go.
Also terrible CGI.
Yeah.
Terrible CGI playing cards like in slow motion. Magically, like, flying around his head in perfect symmetry, beyond what any magician could do, I think, you know, I haven't looked on YouTube, Master Card Trick Guy, you know, that, like, I'm sure there's some people that are really impressive with playing cards.
Yeah.
So, he's dealing out cards, we see at the table Daniel Negreanu, this is why it's such a mid-2000s movie, he's, like, a famous international poker player, from when, like, poker on TV was really famous.
Yeah.
He's playing against Gambit. Wolverine sits down at the table, and we finally meet Gambit in the X-Men cinematic universe.
Yeah.
And he's played by Taylor Kitsch. I think he's from Friday Night Lights. I never watched the show, but obviously it's great. It's kind of a letdown in many ways. I think, to be fair to this guy, he reasonably looks like Gambit might look like.
I think he's too, like, small, like short.
Yes, he's too short, but his face matches up enough. His voice is deep enough. He's not doing the accent too thickly, which is kind of a good thing, because unless you can do the accent perfectly, like I think the guy's name is Chris Potter from the cartoon, unless you can pull that off, it's not... It's best not to attempt the Cajun accent. So he just does like a very light Southern accent, which is fine. And it's
serviceable.
It's deep and gravelly enough that it's not embarrassing.
I think like his acting here is serviceable. It's like the direction and special effects yet again
I'm not I'm not thrilled with his costume. He's wearing like a magician's outfit.
Right.
A shiny purple button up with a black vest over it.
Yeah.
We'll see in a later scene he's got a long black Matrix trench coat.
Yeah.
Just give him a long brown trench coat. I mean, come on. Whatever, I know, not important, but still, a black trench coat really symbolic of the emblematic of the 2000s too. By the way, a black leather trench coat, you know, that was like you see that in a million
movies. Because of
the Matrix. The Matrix, right? Like, it just be cool badasses in general wearing those black leather trench coats.
Right.
So that's what he has there. You know, of course, like, so Gambit thinks that Wolverine's a guy hunting him down because he escaped from this island where he was captured there. I don't know how he escaped. And so Gambit, okay, fine, he's going to charge up some cards and throw them at Wolverine. Big letdown there, too.
Yeah.
It looks bad.
It looks bad.
He can, like...
It's like little blue electric clouds or something.
No, it is purple.
It is?
Yeah.
I thought it was blue.
The way the cards get charged up with energy... First of all, in the X-Men cartoon, it's done perfectly.
Yeah, I know.
It's got that, like, beautiful, like, almost computer-animated...
Definitely computer animated.
Right, yeah. Like electric, full like electric field energy thing. Uh-huh. Everyone knows what it looks like.
Yeah.
And they explode on impact.
Yeah.
Here it's like the playing card, it's like for instance, an Ace of Diamonds, the red Ace of Diamonds gets turned like electric purple, just the colored part. The white part of the card is still white.
Yeah.
And they magically fly off his flat open palm hand.
Yeah.
He's not flinging them with his wrist.
Right.
And that's dumb, because you have the power to, like, levitate objects and direct them. And so when they hit Wolverine, they kind of, like, evaporate into his chest.
Yeah.
And Wolverine goes flying through the wall, which makes sense. And it's kind of cool in a way when the brick wall breaks open, there's, like, a purple flash of energy.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't look right.
It's not right.
They should be more electrified, the cards. He should be flinging them. They should explode upon impact. And that's what it should be. So then they're sort of fighting in the alley, and Wolverine's like, I don't have time for you, and punches him in the face. And, you know, it's at this point in the movie, Gambit is treated as a total non-serious, unimportant character.
Because the thing is that Wolverine was only talking to Gambit to try to figure out where Sabretooth was.
Yeah.
They get into the alley, they start fighting, and Sabretooth shows
up. He magically appears. Oh, like, Sabretooth
right
kills Will
face.
I Am, like, in a very gruesome way.
Right.
Grabs him by the spine while he's trying to teleport. It's gross.
So Sabretooth shows up right in front of Wolverine's face, and at that point, Wolverine...
Just knocks
out Gambit, because he doesn't need him anymore. He found Sabretooth. That's why it happens like that.
So, and then this is one of the weirdest edits in the movie. So Wolverine and Sabretooth are fighting in this alley. I don't think they're going anywhere else. They're just fighting...
I know where you're going, but I just want to interject. It's really just a complaint fest here, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well,
it's fun, though.
It's kind of cathartic.
I did have fun watching this movie for some reason.
Anyways, I also want to complain about the characterization of Sabretooth.
Yeah.
Because I really felt like in X-Men 1, the actor that played Sabretooth was like, that was pretty spot on for me. I know he had like some vague
complaints
about
him. He was a wrestler. He had no lines.
But he looked right.
Yeah.
You know, he was like
7 foot
huge.
One. Yeah.
And like his
long,
eyeballs
blonde,
were
blonde
scary.
Mane of hair. Yeah.
Yes.
And his two lines were good. Scream for me. Like, that was a good line.
He was menacing. He's menacing. He had the deep voice. This characterization.
He had the
again,
mystery too, because
like,
he had Wolverine's dog tags and was fascinated by them.
Yeah, right.
So, right. But they both didn't know each other because they both had no memories. That's part of the Sabretooth character that we don't get in this movie.
Yeah, right. So, Liev Schreiber is a great actor.
Yes.
The way that they like direct him to portray Sabretooth is more. First of all, he's much smaller than this wrestler guy, which doesn't like fit in. He's supposed to be like hulking, like enormous, especially compared to Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
And Liev Schreiber and Hugh Jackman are like the same size, so that like visually it's off.
You need Arnold Schwarzenegger to play him, basically.
Yeah, right. Secondly, they give him these very cat-like characteristics
because he's a saber-toothed tiger.
I know, I get it that what they're trying to do, but like again, like coming from the comics or X-Men TAS, it's not. it's like a different flavor of character. It's not right for me.
I agree. Like, so there's a horrible, like, wire work of him running through an alley like a cat pouncing.
Yeah.
Like a puma pouncing along the street. It looks so lame.
Yeah.
It's like a joke. It's so bad looking.
Yeah.
And I hate his outfit. It looks really terrible, too.
Right. And the only nod
he's also wearing, like, a long black trench coat.
Sabretooth's hairiness is they give him, like, a beard.
The sideburns. Yeah. And so he also has the fangs, and his claws are really gross, too.
Yeah.
He can extend his claws, which is, I guess, true to the character, but it's just, he's just something really gross and creepy. It's like, he's like a monster movie character, Liev Schreiber.
Yeah.
But the note isn't struck right for Sabretooth.
No.
So anyway, so they're fighting in this one alley, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, the director, Gavin Hood, cuts to, like, three buildings away on a rooftop. Gambit is, like, leaping
from building to building. Yeah, he's getting a running
start. And he was just knocked out in the alley, like, 5 seconds ago.
I know.
He's, like, getting a running start three buildings away. Like, he's got his Gambit staff, bow staff now.
Right, which he picked up along the way.
Right, which he charges full of kinetic energy, which I don't know if is really part of the character. Not certainly, I don't think was the case in the cartoon. I don't know about in the comics, like, what the extent of, like, if he can fill the staff with energy. I don't think he can, because I think the point is, like, when he charges an object with energy, it explodes.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the fun of the cartoon, at least, is that the drama of when he accidentally charges stuff, everyone has to run away fast. Like, it's like a grenade's about to go off.
Right.
And that's an element of drama.
Yeah.
That is, it's like, this is why a lot of these movies are bad. It's because they miss out.
Like, you change a detail, but
the detail has, like, a lot more weight than they think it does.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Like, you can make so much hay out of that power.
Nerds like us that like to nitpick the details, but, like, the actual,
for dramatic interestingness.
Yeah.
Like, here's an idea. Wolverine knocks out Gambit. They're fighting. He's fighting Sabretooth on the street. Gambit knocked out, accidentally, like, charges the whole street with his hand, something like that, right?
Yeah, right.
Or Wolverine's maybe wearing a coat. He, like, grabs onto Wolverine's coat. It lights up and it explodes.
Yeah,
like, you could. It was a moment to do something interesting. Instead, they have this bullshit, like, karate matrix maneuver by Gambit.
So he, like, jumps. After the running start, he jumps off the building into the alleyway with his staff.
Yeah,
and, like, as the staff hits the ground, it makes, like, a shockwave sort of thing, which, like, doesn't really make sense.
Wolverine cuts his iconic staff in half, which Gambit immediately is, like, not fazed by. He turns them into two wielding bow staffs. And then there's, like, some other dumb scene where Gambit uses the cut bow staff to, like, climb a building. He's parkouring up a building, like, using, like, hiking sticks. And Wolverine's just slashing the grate that he's climbing. I don't know what the fuck's going on.
It's one of those, like, extending fire escape ladders, and Wolverine's, like,
slashes
cutting it
down. Yeah.
Whatever.
I didn't even remember what happens to Sabretooth in that scene. Wolverine fails to kill him. But anyway,
he gets away somehow.
I guess,
He just runs away. I don't know.
So, Wolverine says to Gambit, like, take me to this island. Gambit's like, okay, I'm a pilot. I promise to kill everyone on that island that you hate. Stryker, Sabretooth, like, whoever. And Gambit's like, yeah, I'm on board with that.
Yeah.
So, is Gambit a pilot? That's another question. I don't know from the comics if he was a pilot at some point. I mean, all the X-Men turn out to be pilots because they all kind of have to fly the Blackbird to
Yeah, but, like, now none of them are X-Men yet,
right.
So...
And they kind of established that, like, another running gag that they think is a payoff is that Wolverine's afraid of flying, which happens a couple times in the movie.
Yeah, where's the payoff from that?
It's from X-Men 1 and 2, I think.
I know, but, like, why continue that continuity?
I just think they're paying homage to their own movies and less to the comics.
Uh-huh.
They're like, okay, like, this is the origin of Wolverine's fear of flying from
right.
X-Men 1.
Remember his jacket?
Right, yeah. It's a remember his jacket moment.
Yeah.
So, I guess this island is Alkali Lake, right?
No, it's not. They call it Three Mile Island.
It's at Three Mile Island? That makes sense because there's a big power plant.
Yeah.
So it's Three Mile Island? I totally missed that detail.
Yeah, they said
that's
it.
Insane. Right, because it's this island cut off, like it's in the middle of some water. Is that what Three Mile Island was in the first place?
I mean, it's an island. Of course it's in the middle of some water.
No, but I thought it was called Three Mile Island because people had to move 3 miles away from that area. Like, they had to make it an island because you can't. It's radioactive up to 3 miles.
I see.
I don't know. Is it Three Mile Island? I don't know. We might be getting that wrong.
No, it's through. They say it anyway, yeah.
Well, shouldn't everyone be irradiated working there? Okay, whatever. Let's move on past that. That's annoying me. So they go to this stupid island. Now the sky is perpetually in a overly dramatic Batman sunset. if that makes sense. Which with lasts Instagram until filter.
The end of the movie.
Yeah,
from here.
Right. Yeah, the sun is setting for the end
for
of the
like
movie.
For like 2 hours.
Yeah, or maybe it's rising at some point too. It's like perpetually rising and setting for the rest of the movie.
It's never dark, completely dark or completely light for the rest of the movie, so who knows. Right. But anyway.
Oh, I want to mention one detail we passed over. They do mention the cost of Wolverine's adamantium procedure. The general says it costs $500 million. Okay.
Right.
I thought that was...
Worth it?
For me, that was like a one detail I got out of the movie that I found mildly interesting. Like, really? $500 million? Okay. They go to Three Mile Island.
That's your taxes and our military budget.
Right. I guess it's at this point that Stryker kills the general, or maybe a little bit before then. Wolverine breaks in. He confronts Stryker, and he's about to kill him, but then Silver Fox rises, and it's all revealed that his whole marriage was a sham, and Wolverine can't believe it. And so then he just, like, walks away. He's like, all right, goodbye.
Yeah, that didn't make sense to me. He went there for revenge. He finds all the people he was going to kill.
Right, Stryker threatens to kill Silver Fox, and then he's like, well, I guess I'll retreat here, too.
Yeah.
Even though you've betrayed me. And he goes on his knees and is kind of, like, emotionally destroyed, but...
No, he just takes one knee, actually.
Right. he does a Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
Yeah. New York Mets outfielder Tim Tebow. Right, so... He just leaves, which is... He doesn't fulfill his promise to Gambit.
Doesn't make sense, yeah.
But...
Maybe he's just too emotionally distraught at seeing Silver Fox again because he thought she was dead, and now he finds out that, like, she was manipulating him.
Right.
And he's like, all right. Oh, but they have my sister.
He's like, my whole life was bullshit. She doesn't say that yet.
Yeah, right.
So, meanwhile, Sabretooth was spying on this whole conversation, which it's surprising Wolverine doesn't detect him because he has a keen sense of smell. He should be able to detect him.
Yeah.
Anyway, Sabretooth then confronts Stryker. He's like, all right, you're going to give me the adamantium skeleton now so I can kill Wolverine. You're just going to... And he's like, why are you just letting him go? He's like, no, you can't kill him, and I can't give you the skeleton. It won't work on you. You're my favorite soldier, Victor. Oh, well. And is it at that point that... Oh, so then... I guess Sabretooth takes Silver Fox hostage at that point?
Yeah.
She starts to run away for some reason.
Because she's upset.
She's upset, and Sabretooth... captures her. Wolverine hears her screaming from like a mile away, which I guess makes sense because he's got super hearing.
It's just outside the building.
It seems like he's walked quite the distance. Like, it seems like where they are in the building is like underground in like a bunker, you know?
All okay. Right.
So he hears all this, so he decides to come running back, and it's like one of these other weird edits where then like you cut back to Sabretooth who's like presumably just picked up Silver Fox.
Uh-huh.
And Wolverine's like, surprise, Victor. And he turns around and Wolverine is now shirtless, ready to fight Sabretooth. This is like another bizarre edit where a character appears out of nowhere. So they start fighting. Stryker runs away. I don't even know. It's so convoluted at this point. Like, essentially, there's a break in the action. Wolverine, like, tackles Sabretooth and he's about to kill him. And Silver Fox tells him not to. He's like, enough bloodletting.
Yeah.
And he's like, you have to help me. I did it all for my sister, who's Emma Frost. Makes no sense. Like, you have to help me rescue her and the other kids captured. He's like, okay, I guess I'll be a hero.
They're not kids. They're 25 years
old.
Yeah,
exactly.
Anyway.
Yeah. So he's like, all right, I'll help you. Meanwhile, Stryker's running around. He's activating Deadpool, who the doctor's assistant says is not ready yet. It's really disturbing what's happened to Ryan Reynolds in this movie. His mouth has been sewn shut,
mm-hmm.
which is a stupid mistake because they've established early in the movie that he's funny and has some funny lines to say.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not like, you know, he's the Ryan Reynolds level funny, which people are like, take it or leave it with him. But still, he's like got an edge to him.
Mm-hmm.
So his mouth is sewn shut, so he has no more lines. He can control his brain through a computer by typing in keyboard commands. Like
he's a robot.
Well, like, no, to me it's more like a text-based adventure game from the early 1980s. It's like, turn left at the castle, you know.
Gotcha, yeah.
Look inside the castle window. Like, that's what he does to Deadpool. So he's unleashed. Wolverine, in the stupidest dramatic scene, all the kids are in, like, locked in little prison cells, and Wolverine's, like, running as hard as he can with his claws out, slicing each cage open.
Yeah.
It's just so overly dramatically stupid.
Yeah. It's like the pose that, like, little kids do when they're trying to emulate Sonic the Hedgehog, you know? Like, the two arms behind them as they run.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's a good way of putting it.
So he frees all the kids. Cyclops and Emma Frost are among them. I think we see Toad in there. Quicksilver, maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
It messes up the entire continuity of the X-Men cinematic universe, as we should know.
They just want to throw in a bunch of cameos because they don't know how many like chances they're going
to
have.
Right. Meanwhile, Professor X is secretly psychically communicating with Scott, telling him where to go. So it's the blind leading this group outside this complicated prison.
Yeah.
Which to me, like, how did Wolverine hear this woman screaming inside the bowels of this prison system? Whatever. Move on past that nitpick. Wolverine then, like, he starts to fight Deadpool. Oh, the kids and Wolverine are trying to escape, but then Deadpool arrives. Wolverine tells Silver Fox and the kids to go the other direction. Meanwhile, I guess Silver Fox has been shot this whole time because she's clutching her side and bleeding. So the kids escape one way. Wolverine's going to fight Deadpool. This is a really stupid version of Deadpool where long, like, swords come out of his hands.
Yeah.
Adamantium swords. And he also has Cyclops' laser beams and Will.i.am's teleporting power.
Right.
And Wolverine's healing ability. So he's kind of like the ultimate warrior, but whatever. It's dumb. and so they're fighting. And this is another weird edit where it's like they're fighting inside. And then all of a sudden you cut to this shot of Wolverine scaling the power plant smokestack.
Yeah.
And it's like this long shot, and Deadpool's just looking up at him.
Right.
And he gets all the way to the top, and he's like, why don't you try fighting me up here, like, with your fancy dance steps?
Uh-huh.
And he just instantly teleports up there.
Yeah. Just such and Wolverine didn't know that he was going to be able to do that. He's like, oh.
He's like, oh, fuck.
But, yeah.
So, and then they start fighting, and it's too hard for him to take alone. But then out of nowhere, Deadpool's about to kill Wolverine. He's blasting him with this optic blast, about to kick him into the middle of the smokestack. Not that that would kill Wolverine.
No, but...
But, he's about to chop Wolverine's head off. Right. Okay, so maybe adamantium can cut through adamantium. With the,
I guess so, right? Diamond cuts diamond?
It does?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. I'll learn something new every
day. I think that's the way they do it.
Yeah, you're right. He's about to die, but Sabretooth appears out of nowhere and decides to help Wolverine for some reason. He says, like, I'm the only one that's allowed to kill you.
Yeah.
Which is really, like, the most machismo thing you can say to another man.
I know, but he has a real, like, chummy smile on his face while he says it.
There's something weird going on about the relationship. Like, what does Sabretooth want out of his relationship with Logan? He's so betrayed when Wolverine walks away from the secret agent group. He's like, you can't leave me! It's like, we're brothers.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, is, like, it's a brothers thing, right?
But it seems more homoerotic, though. I don't, like...
No, I don't think so.
All right.
Well, I think the whole thing is that, like, the theme of family, right, is supposed to be, like, every family, like, people do fucked up things to each other, and you just, like, accept each other and move on, or whatever.
I think it's, like, they're trying to...
You have each other's back at the end of the day.
They're trying to subtly play in the fact that, like, Wolverine was the son of, like, a real fancy rich man, and Sabretooth was the son of, like, a groundskeeper, like... roustabout.
Yeah.
And, like, Wolverine thinks he's better than Sabretooth, even though they're both technically from the same father. Mm-hmm. So I think that's, like, in Sabretooth's head. It's like, oh, you think you're better than me kind of thing.
Right. When, in fact, Wolverine only thinks he's better than him because he's, like, morally...
And also tougher than... I mean, like, the cartoons and the comics make a better point of saying, like, I'm better than you because I'm tougher and better, like, fighting-wise and stuff. The moral thing, I don't think it's, like, quite the... I mean, it is a difference. It's why Wolverine hates him, because Sabretooth is a maniac, that's
a
murderer.
Yeah, he makes a big point of it in this movie.
But he's always trying to prove to Sabretooth that I'm a better fighter than you.
Uh-huh.
Like, you're not tough enough to hang with me. And they, like I said, they make a small mention of that with Sabretooth, with Stryker telling him, you can't have Wolverine's skeleton, you're not strong enough. He's like, I can take anything he could take.
Yeah.
That should have been more about what the dialogue of them should have been about.
Right.
Is that, like...
I mean, it would have made a stronger movie overall, I think, if they had really played up, like, the relationship between the two of them, like, built it more into the plot line of the movie, you know?
Yeah.
It's like they make passing references to it here and there, but if they had, like, made it a more complex relationship like they do with Professor X and Magneto that we talk about all the time, like, it could have been really good.
Absolutely. And it's like you got Liev Schreiber and Hugh Jackman, both really good actors.
Yeah.
It seems like the point you hire Liev Schreiber, not a dumb wrestler, is to make, like, a lot of...
To give it, like, a lot of bones credence out of that. Yeah.
All you have to do is watch the first, like, three or four episodes of X-Men TAS in season one, and you'll get a way better Wolverine Sabretooth, like, rivalry backstory, fighting scenes, like, everything.
Yeah.
Like, the best, one of the all-time most underrated best scenes in X-Men TAS is when when Cyclops first sees Sabretooth at the courtroom, and he's fighting, like, a bunch of humans.
Yeah.
And the guards are killing Sabretooth with a bunch of guns, are, like, shooting him simultaneously with laser beams.
Mm-hmm.
And Cyclops is like, we gotta save him! If we don't, they're gonna kill him! And they pan to Wolverine with his arms crossed, and he's like, good. And Cyclops is like, what? Like, you're insane. And then they cut back to Wolverine just like being totally indifferent, like I'm not helping this guy. Like, that is like so much like more awesome character, like 80s action greatness than anything we get in this movie.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. And the music is like really like pulsating. Well, not that. It's like more like the pulsating techno soundtrack at that point, you know. So whenever they fight to team up to face Deadpool, they go back to back. That's their move, I guess, which is really stupid that they make a lot out of that. And then they Wolverine, he's blocking Deadpool's laser beams with his claws, which warm them up.
Right.
And then he does like the coup de grace. He decapitates Deadpool. And as his decapitated head is flying down the power plant shaft, it's shooting laser beams. And
in, like, a spiral motion.
Right, which is kind of cool, I guess. But,
yeah. Makes the whole thing start crumbling.
The whole thing crumbles. Sabretooth runs away. Wolverine's
they both jump down off the top of the tower.
Sabretooth's like, Wolverine's like, it's not over between us, Victor, no matter what's happened here.
Yeah, Victor's like, all right.
Yeah, he's kind of happy about it. That's what I'm saying. Like, he's grinning at him. nothing about their Sabretooth's interaction towards Wolverine is consistent in this movie. It's like, I don't know, like, does he want to, like, is his plan to make Wolverine as crazy as he is? That's what he wants, them to be, like, blood brothers together?
I think he's, like trying enjoy to the relive the glory days of their fighting in various world wars.
You know what it is? This is what it is. It's a very weak ripoff of Interview with the Vampire, the relationship Tom Cruise has with Brad Pitt.
Mm.
Like, Tom Cruise wants Brad Pitt to be a murderous, like, blood-happy vampire with him, and and Kirsten Dunst, the little girl vampire they get.
Yeah.
Like, he wants them to just be happy and, like, killing people and make a jolly good old time with it. But Brad Pitt has a soul still, and he has more trouble embracing that lifestyle. I think that's what Sabretooth wants out of Wolverine in this. Like, we had it so great. We were just fighting in wars every 20 years together, killing a bunch of dudes. It's so much fun. I can't believe you're going to leave me over. Like, he's hurt that Wolverine quits that lifestyle.
Right.
You know, for Sabretooth, that lifestyle is everything. Anyway.
That's true. But even that is not, like, really that explicit for all the, like, weird character interactions that they have. Like,
it's, that's me just, like, trying to explain it. Like,
yeah, I know, but I'm saying that's the best I can do. How many hours of conversation for us to come to that point?
I know, it makes no sense. So this movie keeps out-stupiding itself, like, with scenes and cinematography. It's still perpetual sunrise or sunset. Wolverine finds Silver Fox. They're about to escape. Meanwhile, Stryker is, like, just shooting Wolverine from the distance with his adamantium gun. Hits him in, like, the back and the chest a couple of times. Wolverine runs back to try to kill him. I mean, Wolverine really should have just let him just run away, taking the bullets, I guess. But I don't know. He thinks he can just kill Stryker, no big deal. And then Stryker takes a one-in-a-million shot when Wolverine's leaping at him and shoots him in the brain.
It's not one-in-a-million. It's, like, firing at close range.
It is, but, like, Wolverine's moving so fast and, like, the pressure is really high in Stryker to get this right. I'm just saying, that's a tough shot.
All right.
You know, Wolverine is a monster. Like, he's about to die. So he does shoot Wolverine in the head. Wolverine's stunned by this, and Stryker then, like, pretty graphically,
in the brain.
Shoots him again. And he's like, it won't kill you, but your memories will surely be erased. And
why is it just because, like, part of his brain, the part of his brain that that keeps memory is destroyed on purpose, and Stryker knows.
But why does it have
that?
To be adamantium? Oh, because adamantium has to pierce the adamantium skull, I see, to get to his brain.
Right.
Yeah, so it's like it does
so
kind of make
targeting,
sense.
Targeting, like, the areas of the brain where memory is held.
I guess, yeah. So it's like
so
the brain
like
will reheal.
That part of the brain is destroyed once. Like, it ceases to exist for, like, a moment before it starts growing back. And he's counting on the memories not coming back because of that.
But, you know, Professor X promises Wolverine later that he'll remember stuff. And Wolverine does remember stuff, as we see. I mean, that's part of this thing in the comics is that he has pieces of the memories. It's just, like, eventually they get unlocked.
I know.
So... it's like it's not destroyed forever.
Adamantium bullets is
maybe
like...
his healing factor takes a really long like takes decades for the memories to heal. So Stryker sees Silver Fox is about to kill her, but she's touching his leg even though she's already seems like she's gonna die. She's bleeding out on the beach. He tells him to keep walking until your feet bleed and then walk some more, and he just has no choice but to obey his command, and he heads off.
That's, like, a pretty powerful thing that she can do. First of all, she's not even touching his skin. She's touching his like,
pants.
Pant leg.
Yeah.
Like, just the fabric. Secondly, it means that her powers are, like, still in force, even after she's not touching him anymore.
It's very much like Kilgrave from Jessica Jones. That's what my memory.
Yeah, right. Like, you give an order, and then it's, like, stuck in the person's brain.
For, like, a week until, unless the guy's still present.
Yeah, right.
In which case, it goes forever. Which is, was so, I can never watch Jessica Jones again. My God, was that show.
Really disturbing, yeah. Yeah.
Although, I have to say, one of the characters, the police officer, William Simpson. Yeah. Which blew my mind.
What about him?
That's his name. I was like, his name's like my name. Remember when Homer in The Simpsons is watching a TV show and there's Detective Homer Simpson?
Yeah.
And he's like, a cut into his face. He's like, his name's like my name. That's how I felt watching Jessica Jones. Anyway, so Stryker wanders off in the distance. I don't know. He gets arrested at the end. Like, they lead you to believe that, like, he's going to be, arrested for killing the general. But we know in Bexman 2 that he doesn't pay for his crimes because he has all his powers as a colonel.
Yeah.
Still working in the government, you know. So I guess he gets away with that.
But he's a colonel, and that was a general.
I know. He's guilty, but I guess he just gets away with it because he still is in the military.
Yeah, right.
20 years later. So the kids escape. They find creepy Professor X standing around. He... In the continuity, it doesn't make sense because he's standing. Although, yeah. It might just be a projection of him. I forget.
Oh.
Anyway, the kids escape. I guess they all join the X-Men. Wolverine has lost all his memories. Gambit finds him on the beach. And he's like, who the hell are you? He's like, your name is Logan. And he checks his dog tags. And he's like, I guess it is. But he's like, all right, come on. I'll fly you out of here. And Wolverine's like, I'll find my own way.
Right.
Which makes no sense. Don't you want to go with a guy who knows a little bit about you instead of...
Well, it's, you know, they're trying to reinforce his lone wolf characterization.
But another better movie, they left missed opportunity where it's like the movie could have ended with him and Gambit flying off together.
Right, and even have some more adventures.
And yeah, even if the next movie's not about him and Gambit, it plants the idea in the audience's imagination. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So, another missed opportunity. Gambit just fucks off. We don't ever see him in the movies again.
I know. I'm sad about that.
We're not going to see Chan. I don't think we're going to see Channing Tatum play him anytime soon either. Wolverine is, you know, lost. I guess he just wanders off Three Mile Island to go on his merry way. What else happens? The movie ends. And then there's a post-credit sequence where they show the rubble of Three Mile Island and we see a hand go for the disembodied Deadpool head to drag it back to the body, and the head is smiling, so the mouth is no longer sewn together.
Yeah.
So hinting at the Deadpool sequels we would get, but which would have nothing to do with this movie.
Right.
Although they are tied together, as we remember in Deadpool 2 in the post-credit sequence, Deadpool travels into this movie to kill this version of Deadpool.
Yeah, which is
rather humorous. So that is X-Men Origins Wolverine. Sonya, out of 6 adamantium claws, how many claws do you give it?
I'll give it 3 out of 6.
Really?
Yeah.
That's like, it's mediocre.
I know that we've been complaining about it nonstop this entire time. Have we said one nice thing about it? Probably not.
No. not really. We said Hugh Jackman looks great.
Was that it? Maybe I'm going to downgrade my rating to 2.
2.5 claws or 2 claws?
Just 2. Just right. 2. The middle 2.
So putting... You mean the ones on the outside? I mean, puts it up to, like, Gambit's neck in the show?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
The select 2. I don't know. It was, like, not good for all the reasons we've just expounded upon.
Yeah.
And yet, I had a lot of fun watching it and talking about it.
I'm going to give it, like, 3.5 claws out of 6.
Whoa.
I thought it was... I think it's always going to be fun to watch. It's such a ridiculously stupid movie. You know, Red Letter Media got kind of famous talking about how it's a great piece of schlock.
Uh-huh.
A great piece of superhero schlock, which is weird because it's a high-budget movie, $150 million budget. It had a lot of expectations. It made $350 million at the box office, which may or may not be good because you kind of have to double production costs to include marketing. And so then it, like, you know, may have just broke even.
Uh-huh.
But they did make 2 more sequels. It'll be interesting talking about the sequels, obviously. Wolverine 2, the Wolverine, as it's known, and Logan.
Right.
It's kind of funny how the titles go, like, they get more and more sparse. X-Men Origins Wolverine, one of the worst titles imaginable, to The Wolverine, which is kind of cool, but, like, overly arty in a way, and, like, pretentious. And then just Logan, which is even more pretentious But, like, more minimalist, too.
Especially since his name is James or Jimmy.
Right, yeah.
Imagine if they had tried to name it Jimmy.
Yeah. I mean, the parts of the movie I don't like, I hate that they shoehorn in Cyclops of all characters. I think that is kind of sad.
Yeah.
I don't like Will.i.am's character that much. I'm disappointed at the Blob. I'm disappointed in many things, as you've just heard.
Yeah.
But I do think, like, overall, it is a ridiculously sort of fun movie. To me, it's more fun to rewatch than X-Men 3. I'll give it that. So if it's on my grand ranking of X-Men movies, it's not at the very bottom.
Oh, just for the fun factor.
Yeah, in fact, I mean, it might be higher, like, than people think, too.
You were saying, like, that it's, you know, a great movie and to rewatch, but, like,
right. For X-Men like fans.
Do you feel like you want to rewatch this, like... Like, how long is it going to be before you can watch this again, do you think?
I mean, this might be the definitive last time I'm watching it, just because we've recorded a 1.5 hour whatever, how long this is, podcast. So
you feel like you've really processed all your emotions about it?
Yeah, so I don't know if... I mean, I might rewatch it again one day.
Yeah.
Like, for whatever reason.
In the indeterminate future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not going to hold up. It's not, like... It's not a good piece of... like cheese in terms of a fun rewatchable movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've been watching this past fall, we've been watching a lot of cheesy action movies from the 80s.
Yeah.
Commando, Cobra, Over the Top, a lot of Stallone, a lot of Schwarzenegger, Conan the Barbarian, Conan the Destroyer, you know, the Terminator
Red Sonja.
Yeah, Red Sonja.
Her name's like mine.
A lot of those movies, yeah. They're remaking Red Sonja, directed by Bryan Singer, of all people.
Really?
He's given $10 million despite being disgraced out of Hollywood for his alleged pedophilia crimes. It makes no sense. It's not like a movie like Commando where, you know, you could just rewatch it again and have a lot of fun. I mean, maybe you can if you're a big superhero fan.
I mean, we said it came out 2009,
yeah.
So it's been almost 10 years.
I've seen this movie a lot.
I could wait another 10 years before I watch this again.
Yeah. I mean, I bought this movie on DVD.
When you did?
Yeah, I did.
Whoa.
I don't know why.
Because you're a Super X fan.
I mean, honestly, it's like, it was still in the era when you didn't have much, like, great superhero stuff. It came out in 2009. Iron Man only came out a year before.
Yeah.
So there's no, like,
and
big MCU.
And before that,
MCU.
There were only 3 X-Men movies.
Yeah, and it's like, the DC movies weren't that great at that time, so.
Yeah, that's
this
true.
Is a movie where you can go, you could see characters like the Blob, Cyclops, Emma Frost,
yeah,
you know, Professor X, like Gambit, all in the same movie.
Yeah.
So in a way, it's like, it was crappy, but it was chock filled with, like, nice things for X-Men fans.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a stupid, like, fun, like, adventure as far as that. Like, I think Hugh Jackman must have thought, I'm doing the X-Men fans a lot of favors by giving them all this stuff. You know, like, making it a carnival of X-Men stuff.
You think he thought that?
Yeah, because he was one of the producers in the movies. I mean, he's a producer of all these Logan movies, so,
yeah.
You know, he had
was
a big
he a
say.
Fan? He must have been a fan of the comic books or something, right?
I think he became a fan. I don't think he was originally, but I think he really got into the character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, it's to this day, it's still his most iconic role. Like, I feel like he keeps trying all these other movies, and he's not, like, great in anything else. They give him all these massive, big-budget movies, like that Australia movie that was a big bomb, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That was, like, supposed to be an epic, like, Oscar-type movie. Les Miserables, which I guess won Oscars, but not so much for his, like, side of it.
Mm-hmm.
He had that The Greatest Showman came out, which I think was also another big, like, stinker.
Yeah.
That might have made money, but, like, critically it was a bomb. He keeps, like, doing these, like, huge movies.
But these
movies.
Are all, like, big drama pieces. I don't think you're gonna get something as iconic as a character that's played over and over again in lots of big
right.
budget
but
films.
But I'm saying that, like, he's...
I don't think that's his fault.
He's established himself as a movie star in the back of Wolverine.
Yeah.
The character. But all his adventures into being an A-list movie star have not gone that well.
Mm.
Which is kind of weird. Which is why there's still...
I don't think it's his fault for bad acting, though.
I think he makes a lot of bad, like, choices.
Exactly. I think that's a weird roster of films that he's chosen to do. But it's probably in an attempt to not be...
typecast.
Just a, quote-unquote, just a comic book hero.
Yeah.
You know? Like, he wants to be taken seriously.
I know.
So he takes these very serious roles, and then it backfires.
Well, I think he's done some comedies, too. I can't really name them offhand, but he tries to... He's like a song and dance man.
Mm.
He's a Broadway-type performer.
Yeah.
He's done his best to really, like, show his range, but mm-hmm. he's just had a lot of bad luck, I think, for whatever reason. And it took him 3 Wolverine movies to get it right. Like, the Wolverine, he knew that X-Men Wolverine Origins was a joke, so he tried his best to make the sequel, The Wolverine, better.
Yeah.
And it was, but it still was kind of cheesy in a way,
mm-hmm.
as we'll get to eventually. And then the third one, he really nailed it.
Yeah.
Like, that, he finally got the character right. and he made a lot of bold decisions. It was, like, tasteful. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
And he finally, like, he did, like, a great X-Men movie. So it took him a lot of tries. But, you know, I love Hugh Jackman. I love him. I think he's great. You know, I can't, like, that's another reason why I like this movie. I can't, like, get on Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
Any other final things to say? Like, I don't know what we're going to do next week as far as content.
So what other movies have we got to go?
All right, Wolverine. So next, is next X-Men, is the next movie X-Men First Class or is it the Wolverine?
Mm.
I'm not sure. It's going to be one of those two. I haven't checked.
Okay.
It's probably going to be, it was one of those two. We'll see.
Yeah. So, all
right. I mean, people at home are screaming at us because they know the answer.
Yeah. Well.
I just don't feel like Googling it while we're talking here. So we'll get to the next X-Men movie,
right,
and we'll work through all the rest. So we've got The Wolverine, X-Men First Class, X-Men Days of Future Past, X-Men Apocalypse, Deadpool 1.
If you want it.
We've already talked about Deadpool 2, so that episode's done. Uh-huh. You can go download that episode. So, you know, we got a lot more X-Men content before we bridge into unknown waters.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Maybe we'll mix it up a little bit.
Yeah.
We'll see.
All right. We've been chatting forever.
I know. Yeah. That's the thing, is like a movie podcast is a whole emotional investment.
I like doing them though. They're fun.
I do too.
I think
yeah,
the fans
yeah.
really like it. If, you know, some of our most popular downloads are the movie ones. So people.
Oh, cool.
They're into it.
All right. Well, if that's you, then
stay tuned for the next several weeks.
Stay tuned, yeah. And you know, you can go on the X-Men TAS Facebook group, even though it's technically not TAS anymore.
Well, for now, and, like, it still is.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying we're not talking about the animated series anymore, but still, Facebook group exists. So, you know, if you're tuning in for the movie episodes, go on over, tell us what you think about these movies, and add to the complaints if you want.
Yeah. follow me on Twitter at Willie Simpson and rate and review the podcast 5 stars. We're happy to continue to keep podcasting here about X-Men, Marvel, and all things
superhero-y.
So thank you, everybody. Good night, Sonia. Any final words?
That's like my name.